Well, hello there, and welcome to the Special Ed Strategist Podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor. In this episode, we're going to explore the importance of advocating for special instruction for children with individualized education programs, or IEPs. We're going to discuss what specialized instruction is, and most importantly, what it is not, along with actionable tips for parents to effectively advocate for their students' educational needs. Whether you're new to the world of special education or a seasoned advocate, this episode will provide valuable insights and strategies to support your students' success in school. Before I dive in, this episode is brought to you by Learning Essentials. Learning Essentials is a team of advanced degree special educators aiming to bridge learning gaps through dyslexia intervention, strategic writing instruction, and executive function support. Visit the link in the show notes for more information on how Learning Essentials can support your students' educational journey. Huge favor to ask, don't forget to hit that like, follow, or share button. It means the world to me. Also, continue that conversation on IG, on social, at Learning Essentials. Now, on to our episode of specialized instruction, what it is and what it is not. So first, let's talk about what is specialized instruction. So when you ask for an IEP, you are asking for specialized instruction, and that is then outlined in the IEP. So what does that look like for a student? So it is first and foremost individualized, right? So specialized instruction is personalized to address the specific strengths, weaknesses, and learning styles of each student with a disability. And this means that educators carefully assess your student's abilities, preferences, and area of need, and then tailor that instruction accordingly. So for example, if a student with dyslexia struggles with reading fluency, the specialized instruction might include explicit phonics instructions, frequent opportunities for related reading practice, and the use of assistive technology tools like text-to-speech software to support comprehension. Specialized instruction also includes differentiation. So that involves modifying teaching methods, materials, and assessments to accommodate the diverse needs of a student. This might include providing alternative formats for presenting information, whether that's visual aids or manipulatives. It's also offering flexible seating arrangements to accommodate sensory needs or adjusting the level of difficulty of assignments to match that student's skill level. So for instance, in a math class, a student with ADHD who has difficulty focusing for long periods of time might perhaps benefit from those shorter, more frequent breaks during independent work time. Specialized instruction is also grounded in research-based practices and strategies, so that evidence-based, that have been proven effective for students with similar needs. So educators should draw upon a wide range of evidence-based interventions and methodologies, such as explicit instruction, peer-mediated learning, positive behavior support strategies. So for example, a student with autism who struggles with social communication might receive instruction in social stories, which are evidence-based narratives that will help teach social norms and appropriate behaviors in various situations. Specialized instruction is also very collaborative. It involves collaboration among educators, related service providers, parents, other stakeholders that are going to help design and implement instructional plans that will address the whole student. Communication and teamwork, we know, are paramount. They are essential for ensuring consistency and continuity and that support across settings. So for example, or for instance, if a student with a physical disability requires assistive technology device to access the curriculum, collaboration between the special educator, assistive technology specialist, and classroom teacher is going to really make that difference to ensure that the device or devices are integrated seamlessly into the instruction and learning activities. Specialized instruction also has to be very goal-oriented. It has to align with the goals and objectives that are outlined in that student's individualized education program or IEP, or even the Section 504. So instructional strategies are designed to help students make progress towards their academic, socio-emotional, or functional goals. So for example, a student with ADHD has a goal related to improving organizational skills. Specialized instruction might include teaching specific strategies for organizing materials, breaking tasks into manageable steps, and using a visual schedule to promote independence and task completion. So there you have it, all of these elements of what specialized instruction is. But more importantly, let's also talk about what specialized instruction is not, so that you have that information to be empowered during any conversation as it relates to your student. So specialized instruction certainly is not a one-size-fits-all, right? So it is not a standardized approach that applies the same instructional methods and materials to all students with disabilities. So instead, it recognizes and respects those unique strengths and challenges for each of our individual learners. So specialized instruction is not segregated, right? It's not synonymous with a separate or isolated educational placement. While some students may require specialized programs or settings to receive that intensive support, the goal of specialized instruction is to promote inclusive practices, so in that least restrictive environment, to enable students to access the general education curriculum to the maximum extent possible. So, for example, rather than placing a student with autism in a separate classroom, specialized instruction might involve providing support with the general education setting through whether it's co-taught teaching, peer tutoring, or individualized accommodations. And so I think as a parent, being aware of programs and settings that are available and really focusing on that least restrictive environment so that your student can access a free and appropriate education. As an IEP team member, there will be conversations of what is the least restrictive environment that we can have our student here and support our student to access the curriculum as their same age peers. Specialized instruction is not static, right? It's not a fixed set of strategies or interventions. Instead, it's dynamic, it's responsive, and it's adapting to the evolving needs and progress of a student over time. So we talk about my last solo, we talked about goals and making sure that we have data to measure if a goal is working or not. That information is going to help us determine what is needed for specialized instruction. So educators continually assessing, modifying, and refining those instructional plans to optimize student outcomes. So for example, if a student with a learning disability demonstrates progress in reading fluency, that specialized instruction may focus or shift focus, I should say, to a higher level of comprehension skills to further support academic growth. So it's that constant monitoring, the constant awareness of how a student is doing, what does the data look like, and helping us make decisions so that we can move forward. Specialized instruction is not a replacement for high expectations. Specialized instruction is not about lowering those academic or behavioral expectations for a student with disabilities. Instead, it aims to provide the necessary scaffolding supports and accommodations to help our students meet those rigorous standards in the best way that that particular student can, so that they can achieve their full potential. So for instance, rather than reducing the complexity of an assignment for a student, specialized instruction might involve breaking down tasks into those manageable steps, helping provide additional time or support, or offering alternative methods for demonstrating understanding. Now, specialized instruction is not limited to academic instruction alone. I say this a lot. I'm sure if you've been listening for a while, you've heard me. We talk about educational impact, right? So thinking that holistic approach to education, thinking about addressing social, emotional, functional needs for students and fostering their overall growth and development. So for example, specialized instruction may include social skills training, self-regulation strategies, a transition planning to support students with disabilities and navigating various aspects of daily life. And that can also include emotions and independent living skills. So we remember the law that governs special education here in the United States. Specialized instruction is looking at fostering, again, through IDEA, the future independence, education, and employment for all students. So as a parent, I would suggest know your students' needs. So understanding your kiddos' strengths and pockets of vulnerability and also their learning style, gathering information about their academics, social emotional, and functional abilities to effectively communicate their needs to their IEP team. Request a comprehensive assessment. So advocate for a thorough evaluation to identify your students' specific learning strengths and again, their pockets of vulnerability. Ensure that that assessment covers academic, cognitive, behavioral, adaptive functioning domains to inform the development of appropriate goals and instructional strategies. I want you as a parent to also be informed about special education laws and rights. Familiarize yourself with federal and state special education laws, including Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, to understand your students' rights to that free and appropriate education. Now, remember, IDEA, the federal law that governs special education, states and counties may interpret it slightly different, but know that they cannot do anything less than what is established in IDEA. So IDEA is that federal law. States take that information and they can do more with rights and protections, but they can't do less. So be aware of your procedural safeguards. That is really important for you to know as a parent so that you know how to navigate what is happening through the process of special education and an IEP. Importantly, to know how to request an IEP meeting or mediation if, heaven forbid, a disagreement arises. As a parent, always, I say this, collaborate with the IEP team. I mean that also for professionals. Build that positive collaborative relationship with your student's IEP team. As a parent, you are going to be that consistent member of the IEP team throughout the years, and you're going to have that voice to help advocate for your student. So when we think about that IEP team, we're talking about teachers, a special educator, related service providers. Remember, those are our OT, PT, speech and language, an administrator. So actively participating in that IEP meeting to share your insights about your students' needs and to work together so that we as a team can develop that meaningful goals and support for that student. As a parent, I want you to emphasize the importance of individualization. So advocate for individualized instruction and supports that meet your students' unique needs. Ensure that goals, accommodations, and instructional strategies are tailored to address your students' specific challenges and strengths, rather than relying on that one-size-fits-all approach. If you have any questions or concerns as a parent when you're looking at that draft IEP, I'm an IEP coach. I'm here to help you, or find an IEP coach that can absolutely support you on this journey so that you can feel empowered. You as a parent can also request evidence-based practices. So advocating for the use of evidence-based instructional practices and interventions that have been shown to be effective for a student with similar needs. Ask questions about the research basis for proposed strategies and always seek alternates if necessary. Little pro tip, when your student is having evidence-based practices, so assume, let's talk about if your student is identified with dyslexia, they're supposed to be in a reading intervention support group. Ask the questions, parents. Ask how many students are in that group. Ask how many times they're meeting. Ask what happens if that teacher, the instructional person that is delivering that research-based, whether it's Orton-Gillingham or how they're delivering this research base, make sure to ask what happens if that teacher is out for a prolonged amount of time. Also, ask if that educator is part of the behavioral team. And I say this because I hear this often from both professionals and parents that a student is identified to receive a set amount of hours or minutes per week with a reading intervention specialist. But that specialist is then being called to be part of the behavior team, and they're being called out of their small group sessions, and that then takes away from that student's time. If your student is in middle school or high school and they're receiving reading interventions or interventions, ask who the person will be, what are their qualifications. Again, get making sure as a parent that you're understanding what is outlined in the IEP. I'd also suggest that if the IEP is stating that it's multisensory ensure that they're not on the computer for their intervention. I have seen that multiple times on IEPs where the IEP clearly states that it's a multi-sensory intervention with direct instruction, and then that student is on a computer program. Folks, that is not multi-sensory. That is not direct instruction. So again, if you're requesting evidence-based practices, ensure that you're understanding what that looks like, what the delivery looks like, so that you as a parent can be better informed and advocate for your student. So advocating for specialized instruction for your students with an IEP is crucial for ensuring that they receive the support that they need in a school. And understanding what specialized instruction is and is not can empower you to effectively advocate for your kiddo's educational needs. Specialized instruction is personalized, evidence-based, collaborative, dynamic, and holistic. Again, it's going to focus on individualizing instruction, promoting inclusion, maintaining high expectations, and addressing academic, social, emotional, and functional needs. I hope this helps you guys. Thanks for tuning in to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. Again, I am your host, Wendy Taylor. I hope you found this episode informative and empowering. Remember, as a parent, you play a crucial role in ensuring that your student receives the support they need to thrive academically, socially, and emotionally. By understanding what specialized instruction entails and taking that proactive step for advocating for your student, you can make a meaningful difference in their educational journey. So be sure to subscribe for more episodes and join us next time as we continue to explore topics related to special education and parent advocacy. Until then, take care and keep advocating for your kiddo's success. Bye for now.